Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the privilege of worshiping you today. We thank you for this wonderful day. We ask your blessing on our service and on this sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. So Jesus is the topic of the sermon. And as we all know, Jesus is the Son of God, our Messiah and our Savior. When Jesus was on the earth doing his earthly ministry, Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus walked on water, he fed thousands of people, he healed the sick, he calmed the storm, he raised the dead. All these are very impressive things. God cares about us. Jesus cares about us and loves us. That's why he came down here. That's why he did these miracles. That's why he continues to do miracles. Today we're going to look at the times when Jesus raised the dead. Now, Jesus raised three people from the dead in the scriptures, and those three people were three what we'd call ordinary people. Jesus could have raised Julius Caesar or somebody like that, but no, Jesus raised three people who may seem ordinary to us, but there's no such thing as an ordinary person to Jesus. Now, we're going to look at these three verses, these three sections, and it might look like a lot in the bulletin, but we're going to look at them in parallel and take them in stages and kind of see what goes on in those three sections. So, the first section starts out in Luke 7. Now, this is early in Jesus' ministry, when Jesus is traveling around the Holy Land with his disciples. And picking it up in Luke 11, it says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her." Now, this was a funeral procession that Jesus happened to come across. Now, the next section, Mark 5, that's also sort of early in Jesus' ministry, and it's a completely different situation. Mark 5:22. "Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and live.' So Jesus went with him." Now, the third section of Scripture is from John, and this is relatively late in Jesus' ministry. Picking up with John 11, Jesus heard his friend Lazarus was sick. Now, Lazarus was, and his sisters, Martha and Mary, were friends of Jesus. It says in the Scripture several times about how Jesus visited them in their home. And there's that famous episode where Martha's in the kitchen, and Mary is listening to Jesus, and Martha says, "Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me in the kitchen." Now, I'm sure everybody remembers that scene. So, what happened was Lazarus was very sick and Lazarus died. Now, Jesus didn't come right away. Jesus waited for 4 days. And then after 4 days had passed, he came to see Lazarus. And Martha, when she heard Jesus was coming, she ran out to the road to meet him before he even got into the town. So picking it up with John 11:21, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." So, three different people and three different encounters with Jesus. Now, all three of these people were at a very low moment in their lives. The widow of Nain didn't know Jesus. The Scripture says she didn't have any knowledge of Jesus. All she knew was that her son was dead, and she was heartbroken. Jairus, on the other hand, he was a man of standing in the community as a synagogue leader. He had heard of Jesus. He heard of this healer. He went out to find him because his daughter was sick. Martha, well, she met Jesus out on the road, as we, you know, said. She's a friend of Jesus. She'd heard his teaching before. She might have been a little feisty, but Martha had faith. Martha had very strong faith. Now, the widow, being all alone, it was an especially bad heartbreak for her because without a son, without a husband, oftentimes women of that culture were reduced to begging. They were at the mercy of their male relatives. They could either take them in or not. The future didn't look very good for the widow. And Jesus and his followers come up. I can imagine them walking on a dusty road, a big crowd of folks, seeing this funeral procession. There's the widow. The widow right then had no hope. She looks up and sees the stranger with a bunch of people coming up. And I often wonder, did she know that was Jesus? Did she know that was the Son of God coming up to her? Jairus, on the other hand, now he probably prayed a lot. His congregation, too. Now, history books say that daughters didn't matter in the culture back then. Sons were what mattered, as we see with the widow. But Jairus loved his daughter. Jairus was worried and very desperately concerned about his daughter. He went out and found Jesus and said, "Jesus, please come and heal her. I know you can do it." He still had hope. Now, Martha and her family there, they knew Jesus. Jesus had taught and ate in their home. And Jesus waited to come. They had time to grieve. Lazarus was 4 days in the grave. And they had 4 days to sit and wonder, where was Jesus? Martha had faith. She was a little upset, though. And Martha, as we know, very outspoken. She wanted a word or two with Jesus. She said, "If only you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened." Now, doesn't that sound familiar? If only you'd been here, Jesus, this bad thing that happened, it wouldn't have happened had you been here. You know, we look at the headlines, we look at the news, a lot of bad things going on. So where are you, Jesus? So let's look at the second set of scripture and see how Jesus goes on in these three situations. So we pick up with Luke 7:13, back with the widow. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, "Don't cry." Now think about that. The Lord God Almighty looked at this distraught woman and told her, "Don't cry." All right, in Mark 5, Jesus was delayed a little bit getting his way to Jairus' house because he performed another miracle along the way. You know, Jesus was like that. So when he got there was obviously a crowd at the house, and somebody came out and said, your daughter's dead. Don't worry about it. Just send the healer on home. Send the teacher on home because it's all over with. Now picture Jairus' face. He's hopeful. He has Jesus. He's coming with him. His daughter's dead. I just picture his face falling. So, in verse 36, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." So this is the bad news. This is the worst news that Jairus could hear right now. And here's Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Now, I'm sure a lot of us, I know for a fact, I had loved ones in the hospital, had loved ones who were really bad off sick. And the phone rings, you look at that caller ID, and it says Albemarle Hospital, Chesapeake Hospital, or some friend of yours who's staying with them. And you get that feeling, that blood run cold feeling. Just picture Jairus here and Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Remember that word believe, we'll get back to that in a minute. Now, picking back up with John, Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" We'll get back to that question in a minute here. But Mary's answer was, "Yes, Lord." She replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world." So then Mary, she was in the house at the time. She heard Jesus was coming. So she ran outside too. And a group came with her. So picking it up at verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Same thing Martha said, right? When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And then verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Okay, so think about don't cry. Think about the comfort that Jesus gave that widow. And Jairus, who heard the bad news, he expected and dreaded this news. He heard, don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus, who created the stars, still wept over these people's sadness, over Lazarus. How about Mary falling at Jesus' feet? How about Jairus falling at Jesus' feet? Can we do anything other than that? They were throwing themselves on Jesus' mercy. And that's what we have to do, y'all. So Jesus was deeply moved. Now, when it says Jesus wept, does anyone remember those old pollution commercials with the Indian and the one little tear that came down? Well, that wasn't what happened here. This wasn't a single noble tear. That word means that Jesus cried. That Jesus was affected. Jesus was moved by this. Jesus, we might think that nobody cares. We might think sometimes that nobody gives a care in the world about what's going on with our lives. But Jesus cares. Jesus created us and knows every hair in our head, and he also knows every hurt in our heart. Jesus hurts with us. Lazarus might be dead, but as Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I will get back to that in a minute. So he offered comfort to the widow. He told Jairus to believe. The one who heard some teaching, Mary and Martha, and what teaching? Jesus offered them even more wisdom, and he asked them an important question, which we'll get back to. Now, the third set of scripture tells what happened in these three events here. And it starts out with Luke 14. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. This is the widow's son. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now picture that scene, y'all. Just picture that mother's joy. Now in Mark 5, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. Now, that's a quick change of mood, isn't it? You have a 1 minute wailing and crying, next minute laughing. Anyway, after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Now, back to Mary and Martha. A crowd started gathering around. And the crowd was starting to wonder about Jesus. So what's going to happen here? Jesus, picking up with 11:38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. That's practical Martha, isn't it? You know, just always thinking about what the consequences are. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So, three miracles, three commands from Jesus. Imagine the widow's joy. Imagine the parents of that young girl. Martha, Mary, and the crowd. Just think about the compassion and the power and the impact it had on all their lives. Think of all the happy years that those families had thanks to Jesus' miracles. But not long after Lazarus' resurrection, Jesus entered Jerusalem, and it was Palm Sunday, which we celebrate next week. But this happened almost immediately before that. And soon after Palm Sunday, we had another resurrection, which was a much, much more important resurrection. You had Jesus crucified. Jesus was dead and buried in the tomb. He was in the tomb and it was the end. Right? No. That just set the stage for the greatest miracle of all. Satan wanted to keep Jesus in that tomb. Satan wanted badly to keep Jesus in that tomb. But what happened? Jesus himself rose from the dead. And Jesus rules over death and sin, which that's the greatest miracle of all. Raising somebody from the death is one thing that Jesus can do. Raising somebody from sin, it's the greatest miracle of all. It's the mechanism of salvation. Jesus crucified, dead, and resurrected. And now Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will return, and in a twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet sounds, all the graves will open. Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. And if you think the happy years on earth are something that these families had, just think about heaven. Now, Martha knew all that. Martha was not wrong about Lazarus being resurrected on the last day. She knew all about it. She had to overheard something from the kitchen that day about that. So Jesus promises resurrection and eternal life. Now, back to that question. Jesus asked. He explained all this, then he asked, "Do you believe this?" And the answer that Martha gave was, "Yes, Lord." Now, Martha wasn't keen on details. She wasn't quite sure what was going on. She didn't know why Jesus wasn't there sooner. But she had faith. Faith matters. Faith matters more than details. Look at John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that those who believe in him will never die but will have eternal life." So there's that word again, believe, like Jesus asked Martha. Now that question that Jesus asked Martha stands for all of us now. It stands for everybody throughout the ages, and everybody has to answer one way or the other. Do you believe this? Jesus, who was moved by our sorrow, who cried with us and told us, "Don't be afraid when the worst happened," just said to believe. Jesus created the world. Jesus said, "Let there be light." And he has a question. Now, it's not always easy to believe, right? Because this world is a hard, cruel, cold, mean place sometimes. It's tough and hard. There's a lot of injustice and cruelty and loneliness, despair and sickness and death and 1,000 things that say to us God is far, far away. But God is never far away. Jesus said, "I am with you always." Jesus knows about this world. Jesus was here. He lived it. He was laughed at and mocked and alienated and called crazy and rejected and crucified. But the Lord is, he knows what we face, and he cares, and he made promises to us. And just like Martha, we face this question: do you believe this? Now, if anybody's on the fence today, whether or not they can answer this question, pray. Pray to God. Learn about Jesus. Learn about his promises and miracles. Ask the Holy Spirit to help, because Jesus wants that answer. Jesus wants to do a miracle in your life, my life, all of our lives. But we have to answer that question, y'all. So during the closing hymn, if anybody wants to come up and pray, come right on. If you want to pray where you are, pray. Because this question hangs out there and it's important, y'all. So let's say a prayer and we'll close the sermon. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word today. And thank you for everyone here. And please, we ask for help and guidance for anyone who's on the fence or unsure about this, about your salvation, Lord. And just please help us all to grow closer to you. And we ask your blessing on all of us. Amen.